It's quarter past 11 here on The Daily, and there's been greater discussions about implementing diversity in big businesses in recent years. But how close are we to achieving any level of diversity? Well, you may not be too surprised to find out not that close. According to a new study by academics at the University of Sydney, we are very far off the mark, with more than three quarters of all ASX top 100 board members from European backgrounds. Joining us today is Dr. Dimitra Groutsis, an associate professor of work and organizational studies at the University of Sydney. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So what were the major findings of your report?
The major findings were that our senior leadership in corporate Australia is not representative of our broader population. So if we look at statistics by the Australian Human Rights Commission, data by the Australian Human Rights Commission, our population is comprised of 58% from an Anglo-Celtic background, 18% from a European background, 21% from a non-European background, 3% have an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander ancestry. And if we look at our senior leadership suite in a survey of 2,500 executives and CEOs, 97% of our executives are comprised of an Anglo-Celtic or European background, and 95% of our CEOs have an Anglo-Celtic or European background.
Right. And it's hard to not be cynical about something like this. How surprised were you and your colleagues by these results?
Oh, we weren't surprised. We've been doing research in this area for quite some time. So in terms of the surprises, there weren't many, particularly in terms of boards. Boards have both a measurable and a non-measurable pathway to get access to these boards. And it's the non-measurable criteria that play a more significant role, such as the networks.
So this preponderance of, you know, Anglo-Celtic men on board member positions and in European men on board member positions, what are the factors that play into this?
The key factors are that there's a limited supply of cultural diversity within the executive level. So what we need to do is to grow a more culturally diverse talent pipeline so that we have a supply into that board position, because our executive levels are a springboard into board positions. The other thing that we found was that there were assimilationist attitudes and a preference for a Western leadership style. So we need to think more broadly about what leadership means. And in terms of an assimilationist preference, some of our respondents indicated that they felt that they needed to change to fit into the culture of the board. And we think that there isn't a value add in terms of what cultural diversity brings to a board. And there have been studies done nationally and internationally that indicate that there is a financial penalty for not having diversity on boards.
So then people's conception seems to be based around sort of their, you know, these broad sort of cultural attitudes that are being handed down from above or being, you know, perpetuated by this. Is it then the idea that if we see all these, you know, Anglo-Celtic men in board positions, we view those as like the best suited for it? Is it sort of a feedback effect?
Potentially, yes. I suppose it could be seen as a feedback effect. It could just be seen as a systemic effect. For me, it's more systemic, and I think that that's why we have this fantastic opportunity to change things following a very lively discussion. And I think that this is the start of a fantastic discussion.
So you mentioned that there are financial penalties to having these very homogenous boards. What are some of the other ramifications of this, you know, very European or Anglo-Celtic sort of centered board members?
It's broader than that.
There's
groupthink that happens. You know, when you have a homogenous framework in terms of how you reach decisions, it leads to a form of groupthink, because, you know, you're all on the same bandwagon and you're all agreeing. So that's probably at the tip of the iceberg. Feeding into the financial issues is also we're limiting our customer base and our market base. We can get a foothold into different markets and access to different customers by bringing in culturally diverse individuals onto boards, onto our powerful decision-making bodies.
Right. So what ways do companies currently or aiming for the future achieve diversity or aim for diversity on their boards? Like, what measures are in place?
Well, as I said, you know, we're starting this conversation.
Yeah.
So we think that there are a number of great ways that we can do it by broadening networking arrangements to open up access for potential directors from culturally diverse.
Can you expand on the networking? Because you mentioned that a couple of times. Can you expand a little bit by what you mean for that?
Yeah, well, networks form an incredible and powerful way of perpetuating and creating visibility for mm-hmm. potential aspirants. These networks include, I suppose, those business networks that, you know, we quite often talk about.
So contacts and opportunities.
Contacts and opportunities, exactly. And they create visibility. They promote someone's talents. And they create trust. And that came up time and time again with our respondents who said, networks create trust amongst trusted networks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a powerful thing to know, because it provides us with an in terms of changing things up a little bit. It also feeds into the fact that we need to develop transparent pathways to board membership, and our networks can sometimes be those less transparent pathways.
Right. So in terms of like invisible opportunities that are not given to other people, but only the people that are sort of, you know, allotted the opportunity.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how eager are companies like those on the ASX Top 100 to rectify this or to address diversity?
Well, in terms of gender, significant progress has been made. So mm-hmm. if we look at ASX 200 companies, and the AICD has been doing some great work, as have particular campaigns like the Chief Executive Women's Campaign, Male Champions of Change, the 30% Club. 84 of the ASX 200 companies have almost 30% representation of women on their boards. So mm-hmm. there's been significant progress. In terms of is there an appetite for change? I think there is, but we need to keep this conversation going, and we need particularly to clarify definitions around cultural diversity.
Right.
I think we're missing out on a lot because there's a little bit of a branding issue in terms mm-hmm. of what cultural diversity is. And I think that that's a problem, because a lot of the respondents tended to collapse cultural diversity with global mindset and cultural awareness, and they're very different entities.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning to expand upon the issue.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
That was Dr. Dimitra Grutsis, an associate professor of work and organizational studies at the University of Sydney, who helped conduct research into the ASX Top 100 board member composition, which found that they were mostly of European and Anglo-Celtic background, more than 3/4 of the ASX Top 100 board members from those backgrounds.